The Gospel reading for this particular Sunday in the Western Lectionary is the famous story of the woman taken in adultery. I was about to say it's from St. John's Gospel, and that's where we now find it, though in fact nobody's quite sure where it belongs. In some early manuscripts it's to be found, for example, included in St. Luke's Gospel. But wherever it comes from, it certainly has a very authentic ring to it. And it is also a remarkably important pericope, which is the correct word for it, I think. A passage which is self-contained, which contains a particular saying of the Lord, or particular action, which has a particular and special meaning which the writer has wanted to preserve for succeeding generations. And so that's what's happened here with this pericope about the woman taken in adultery. Now, there's nothing particularly odd about the woman taken in adultery. That probably was the sort of thing that people might well have expected to happen in their society, just as we expect it to happen in our society. There are even men who might be taken in adultery as well, believe it or not. But that's not really the significance. What's happening here is that the law is being applied. The law of Moses is being applied. This woman is an adulteress, and so she has to be stoned to death. That's what the law of Moses says. That's what the law of the Quran says, and that's what happens in Iran at the present time, you'll be thrilled and delighted to know. And so here, the noble, good people are about to do what God requires. They're going to stone this woman to death. And the blessed Lord is going to say to them, well, let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And of course, as we know, they slink away one by one because they're not able to justify themselves. I find that rather remarkable. In fact, I would have thought they would have stood up and stood and said, that's got nothing to do with it. This woman deserves to be punished. Let's do it. But clearly the atmosphere which the Lord brought with him made that rather difficult for them. So off they went, one by one. After he'd given them time to think about it by stooping down and touching the, or writing in the ground, whatever it was that he wrote there. So off they go. Now, that's dreadful. I mean, it's really awful. I mean, society's going to fall apart if we have this kind of thing. We can't afford not to stone adulteresses. It's vital that we keep our standards up. And the standards here are being allowed to slip very seriously. This is not what religion is for. Religion is here to make sure that everybody behaves nicely, that we have a decent, well-ordered society. And we're not going to have a decent, well-ordered society if people like this woman are just let off with a warning. Won't do at all. But there's a very important lesson here, and it's, as you can imagine, and it's summed up for me in something that Mother Julian says in her Revelations of Divine Love. And she says, when we observe the sins of others, a mist comes down before our eyes, and we cannot see God through it. Now, a lot of people think that religion is about seeing the sins of others. Nobody is saying that there are no sins at all. What they're saying is that in some ways the sins of others are as damaging to those who observe them as they are to those who do them. That if you go around observing the sins of others and judging them in consequence, then in some ways you're cutting yourself off from God. But that does not mean, she says, that we should just pretend that nothing is wrong. On the contrary. The way we deal with this is by identifying ourselves with the sinner. We recognize that we too, likewise, are sinners. And that if we are to deal with this sinner, in some way we have to put ourselves in his or her place. And recognize that we too deserve the judgment and condemnation which they have themselves have received. Now, I'm not going to quite do that with Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin. I don't quite think that I deserve the condemnation that they receive. But I must be always aware of the fact that I'm not all that I should be. That in fact, my sinfulness and my failures were as much a part as anybody else's sins or failures are bringing about the crucifixion of my Creator. That my imperfections, my cruelties, my weaknesses, all the rest of it, very small though they may be by comparison with others, are still quite big enough. And so what we're actually asked to be is in some ways compassionate towards the sinner, to recognize that the person who has done wrong actually deserves pity and mercy and compassion, particularly probably if he or she doesn't recognize his or her need of it. But that is not, as I say, to say that nothing's happening. Religion can be very sentimental sometimes. We just pretend that, airbrush it all out. That's not what's being asked for. Not in the slightest. But we are asked not to sit in judgment. That doesn't mean to say that we do not assess the situation. Of course we must do that. We cannot pretend that adultery or murder or any other vice or wickedness or cruelty is perfectly okay, really. It's nothing of the sort. But we have to recognize that we, as individuals, are in no position to be superior to anybody else. And in some ways, we have to take their burden upon ourselves. Now, that's exactly what God did. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Christ is God in human form. God, in human form, took our sins upon us. He did not pretend that they did not exist, any more than the Lord pretends to the woman who's committed adultery that what she did is just fine. He's not pretending that at all. But at the same time, he is not sitting in judgment on her in the way that we would be tempted to do. So, as we enter Passiontide, we ought to be aware of the fact that, on the one hand, of the pain that our own sinfulness has brought to our Creator, and the extraordinary and dreadful lengths he has gone to overcome it, not just for him, but for us. But also, we need to be aware of the fact that we have to follow in his footsteps, and that in overcoming the sins of others, the first thing to do is, in some ways, to take the pain upon ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.